20 years ago, if he could see where the world has come, where the all the different things that are happening that speak to the Lord's return, which we don't know the day or the hour, that there's many things that point to our being in the last days. So it is an encouragement to be here this morning. Yesterday when we got off the plane and wandered around for a bit, went by the old meeting room on 20th Street. It's an encouragement because there were many dear saints that were gathered there on 20th Street, but I think I recognize three people. Were you back there when 4 years ago, Stan? Well, that's an exaggeration. Yeah, close to 40 years ago, that's not an exaggeration. So I'm almost old as Doug. But it's an encouragement because you can see the Lord still gathering to himself in this assembly. We are in a day of small things. We are in a day that there's much ruin, but there's also much to be encouraged about. Hopefully we can have a few encouraging words from the Book of Life this afternoon. When we have the gospel in Denver, with the exception of those that have not reached the age of accountability, we really believe that everyone in the world is, God knows the heart, but we believe that everyone is the Lord. So it's interesting to preach the gospel. We truly believe that everyone is the Lord. We usually go down to, another uncle that's been going down to the rescue mission once a month for over 60 years, he's with the Lord now. There's a few that continue that work. That's a whole different audience than you're speaking down at the rescue mission. There's no doubt in your mind that there's something that you need the saving grace. But with the Lord's help, we'll try to bring out a few words of encouragement today as the gospel meeting. We'll try to bring out the gospel with, humanly speaking, I would not volunteer to get up. There's those that like to publicly speak. There's those of us that we have to rely on the Lord for a word from him. God gives each of us gifts, and we'll perhaps bring that out a little bit more, that regardless of what the Lord has given you, we need to use it for his honor and glory. Been going through the book, the Minor Prophets in Sunday school, and it's been a real encouragement. The children of Israel, they're an easy target. They were a rotten bunch over and over and over again, and our hearts are no the same. It's easy to say, well, I won't do that. But the reality is our hearts are no better than their hearts were. And we can learn from the lessons and the pictures and what God took his people through, what pleased him, what displeased them, what him being God the Father. Obviously, over and over in the Old Testament, we see pictures of the Lord Jesus, and we're thankful of his faithful love to an unfaithful people. But let's go back. Let's go back to the book of Habakkuk. I'm sorry, let's go to Haggai. And you're going to have to find. Actually, I had a very good sleep last night. I don't have the gospel. I would have set alarm and probably wouldn't have needed it. So, and forgive me for using notes. I'm not an extemporaneous speaker. Hopefully we'll have a little bit of coherency with some notes. So, to understand the book of Haggai, it's set in the time of Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther. So the study Haggai, that's a good place to begin because it brings the relevance to the prophecy that Haggai gave forth to the children of Israel. And there were three prophets at the time, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. Haggai was more of a down-to-earth feet on the ground, whereas Zechariah was more of a dreamer, which, and he didn't see dreams. He actually, God was given visions. I don't believe that they were dreams. But there was a small remnant that had returned to the land of Israel, and many times it feels like we're a small remnant. It is one of the questions asked, if this is truly where God is in the midst, why are we so small? Why are we so weak? Why are we? And I don't have all the answers to that. You know, we do can see that sometimes where there's great numbers, there's also not always the truth of Scripture being taught forth. And I want to say this carefully and gently. If you want to hear people, and I'm absolutely not a camp basher, but it's when you have friends that aren't gathered with us that go into some of the churches that are teaching bad doctrine and call it apostasy, they have no problem calling it apostasy. And it's all we can do on an individual basis is attempt to be true to the Word of God and pray that we do rightly divide the truth. You know, Haggai seemed to be a humble man, but he was God's messenger over and over again. He said, "Thus saith the Lord." You know, it wasn't Haggai speaking, it was the word of the Lord speaking to Haggai. And we have God's word to us in our hands today. He was a messenger. You know, he rebuked, but he also encouraged. You know, sometimes we need rebuke, but rebuke without encouragement doesn't accomplish much. Sometimes we have to tear down, but it also has to be built back up. And he not only preached to the people, he got in there and worked with the people, so you can say he practiced what he preached. So we're very practical. But we start in the first verse of the first book of Haggai, in the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord. And over in this book we have the word of the Lord by Haggai, the prophet, unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, was no king. This is one of the first books where time is measured by not one of the kings of Israel, Judah, but one of the kings that was, you know, one of the pagan kings of that day. And to Joshua, the son of Jochadesh, the high priest. So there were, we have a prophet, we have the individual who was, you know, the governor, and we have the high priest. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, Thy people say the time is not come that the Lord's house should be built. And if we go back into that day, there was a small remnant that had gone back. There was much opposition around them. They had situations. They were not strong. They were not mighty. They were not a great number. So they were in a position of hardship. They were in a position, humanly speaking, of danger. And they had repaired the walls and they had built houses. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet. It is time for you, O ye that dwell in your chiseled houses, and this house lying waste. So they had built themselves very nice houses. They were living comfortably. There's some thought that they had taken the wood that was supposed to go back into the temple and used it to furnish their own houses. So they were living for that day and time, probably in very comfortable houses. This book is a fairly short period of time. This is, you can go through the time period. It's a little less than 4 months that this book transpires. So going on to Now therefore saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Their crops weren't doing good. Ye eat, but have not enough. They were hungry. Ye drink, and are not filled with drink. Ye clothe, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages, be put in a bag with holes. If you're carrying around a bag of money with holes in it, money's gonna, you know, if it's coins, it's gonna fall out the bottom of the bag. I've enjoyed going through the prophets, how picturesque and how some of the word pictures that are painted. Very much to consider. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up in the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. So the Lord gives them a very clear directions on what to do. They were to go up the mountains, cut the wood, bring it back down. But they're rebuked here, and then starting the ninth verse. Ye looked for much, and lo, it came for little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it, Lord. I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of mine house that is waste. And ye run every man to his own house. He's telling them clearly that it's time to rebuild the temple. Therefore, the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I call for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon the ground that bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon the labor of the hands. So the Lord said, I haven't blessed you. You know, in the Old Testament, God's blessing was a sign of his favor. Today, we desire spiritual blessings. Each of our hearts are much like the children of Israel, but God did show his blessing by, in those days, immaterial things. At this point, the children of Israel were just saying it's too hard. We can't do this. We need encouragement. Haggai is challenging them he's telling them what the problem was, why the circumstances were what they were, because God had not only allowed them, but directed them, and then called them to a course of action. And let's just read on a little bit. Then Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, son of Josedech, the high priest, and all the remnant of the people obeyed the voice of the Lord, their God, in the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him. For the people did fear before the Lord. So we're always thankful when we see not only obedience, but it appears to be immediate obedience. And we can see as we go forward, they did plans, and then they went to implement the plans. In the 13th verse, then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, the Lord's message to the people, I am with you, saith the Lord. And we have many promises in Scripture. You know, one of those that resonates with me, if God be for us, who can be against us? And we see pictures of it over and over again in the Old Testament. Going on in the chapter, we see that they start the work of the Lord, and the work of the temple is directed by the Lord. And we're given more dates. So the dates, they started making plans and then started actually implementing plans. Well, and each of us can find ourselves in the same situation that they've been in. It's too hard. It's not a day of big things. It's not time. When the Lord said, it is time. You know, your priorities are not what they should be. And sometimes we have to take, each of us have to take a look at our priorities. How are we spending our time, our abilities, our money? So, the foundation of the temple has been laid, and it's one of the applications I would take personally is our older brethren have laid foundations for it. What are we doing to build on those foundations? In the Jewish economy or the Jewish way of living, believe that a young man became responsible for his own spiritual growth at age 13. Each of us, our desire is to have somebody else feed us, but God would have each of us feed on His word. When they start building the house, another problem comes in. There's big discouragement. Let's just read about the third verse. Who is left among you that saw this house in first glory? And how do you see it now? It is not in your eyes as comparison of nothing. No, the new small little temple compared to Solomon's temple wasn't much to look at. But we have throughout Scripture, God desired to have a center, to have a place in Jerusalem. That was always His heart, to have a center where His people went worship. And we see that when the king set up places of worship that were not in Jerusalem, it was done in the wrong spirit, it was done for the wrong reasons, and it was not blessed of God. But God desired them to complete the work that He had them started. We need a strong foundation to build upon. If we just turn to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Should have been put into the temple. They'd used them for their own good. And we know that God loves a cheerful giver, and that God doesn't desire us to do things out of obligation, but there appears to be in the Old Testament a principle that they were to, and there's the numbers can be done different ways, but perhaps a good start of giving to the Lord is 10%, and we all should give of our abilities. God has given each of us abilities, and different people in the assemblies do different things. When we work in our employment. We're God's ambassador in our employment. It tells us to do everything heartily is under the Lord. That is, that can be our testimony where we work. You know, it's, I don't know who takes care of the meeting room here, but in Denver, there's one brother who's taken care of the meeting room for the past 60 years. He just does it. And the only time you know that it's not done is when it didn't get done. It's real obvious when it's not done, but you never, when everything gets done, you have no idea how much time and effort and the abilities that have been given. And so we've had some conversations about it, and when it's done willingly as unto the Lord, for the Lord, there's a blessing. When it gets to the point where it feels like an obligation or a duty, and it's not done cheerfully, not done with the right attitude, then there's no blessing for doing it. So we need to not only do things, we need to do things in a way that we can not only bring honor and glory to God, but that with the right attitudes. So we don't do them for the blessing, but we're thankful when He blesses us for them. And as I said earlier, there's those that really enjoy public speaking, and there's not. There's a story of a preacher in a church and went to a new church, and there was an individual that said, whatever you do, don't ask me to pray publicly, to speak publicly, but other than that, I'll do anything that needs to be done. You call me on your man. He said, I was never so thankful for one man that could not pray publicly, because for the next 30 years, I could call on him, and if he couldn't do it by himself, he'd come with a group of people and get it done. So it's that individual didn't feel that he could be used in a public manner, but he was used over and over by the Lord to do things that needed to be done that were within his skill set and what he was comfortable doing. So we, each of us, whatever abilities we have, there's a young brother in our assembly who is very talented mechanically, and I don't know how many times he has gone and fixed something for someone. And that's, we have to do that. And we live, I'm guessing Phoenix is like Denver. We're not neighbors. You know, we can have people that live 40 miles apart. And that's, you know, that's a gift of time and energy showing to another how much our abilities, you know, whatever our abilities are, God has given them to us for a reason. We can use them for His honor and glory. Someone will criticize, and it's, we need to be very careful with our criticism, because the criticism within can be a whole lot more destructive than the criticism without. If a non-Christian doesn't understand what we're doing and makes fun of us, that's not real hard to take. But if those that are close to us, we need to be, before we criticize someone who is attempting for doing something that we don't know what their motives are, it's something we need to pray about. But, you know, there were those that were trying to throw a wet blanket on the rebuilding of the temple, saying it's too little. It's not what it was. It's not glorious like Solomon's temple. And it wasn't. But it's that didn't mean that that was not God's desire and that it didn't please God to have a people. So throughout this book, a number of times we're told to be strong. You know, we're told to be strong and be of good courage. There's verses to Timothy. Timothy was told to be strong. It was not Timothy's natural nature. Well, I think I would like Peter, because Peter was a man's man. He was sometimes didn't think before he acted, but he was a man of action. Timothy had to be encouraged to take action. And then just maybe we'll finish up with one subject and then look at a few gospel verses. Let's go to the second chapter in the 10th verse. Well, let's go to the 11th verse. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, ask now the priest concerning the law, saying, if one bear holy flesh in the skirt of his garment, and with this scourge touch bread or pottage or wine or any meat, shall it be holy? And the priest answered, no. Then said Haggai, if one that touch an unclean dead body, or any beast, shall it be clean? And the priest answered, it shall be unclean. So answered Haggai and said, so this people, and so this nation for me, saith the Lord, every work of their hands, and that which they offer, is therefore unclean. There are very specific laws and throughout the Old Testament of thou shalt and thou shalt not, that there were times that things weren't clearly spelled out. And this was a situation where it was not necessarily spelled out, but it's a good lesson for each of us in what we allow or don't allow in our lives. What we can draw from this is things that are unholy can taint us. Things that we touch, things that we are a part of. It has an effect on us. If you have two children and one of them has the measles, you won't tell the well child, go give your sick sister a hug, because both children are going to be sick then. You're going to keep the two apart. And the same thing, we cannot save our children. It's a work, individual work. Coming to meeting doesn't make us holy. So we need the two. So there's a dry cleaner that had a sign up that said, we clean everything but the reputation. So the clothes can be clean, but having clean clothes won't make a clean person. So that, let's just look at a few gospel verses in closing. Verse 16, by your fruits ye shall know them. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? So every tree bringeth forth good fruit, and a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. And that's more still goes along with the thought of good and evil. In John 3. John 3 and verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in me should not perish, but have everlasting life. But God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. So we have the love of God in this verse. I have one boy and I have two girls. It would be very difficult for me to give any of my children or someone else. That's, there have been those that the Lord has perhaps taken a child, and there's been blessing, whether come out of it, but it's God gave his only Son. And if there's anyone here today that has not accepted God's free of salvation, he loved you so much that he gave his Son for your salvation. And you can have the peace that we sang about. And it's in red and this morning in our breaking of bread. If there's anyone here that doesn't know the Lord Jesus, he loves you, he died for you, and he wants to bring you into the family of God to bless him. So we would just pray if there's anyone here that has not given their heart to the Lord Jesus, that by his Holy Spirit, that he would guide and direct. So let's just close in prayer. Beloved.